It's interesting, yeah, when people come, yeah, come from the West, yeah, you know, learned meditation in the West. They come here with a lot of wrong understanding, wrong views, yeah, and wrong understanding. Happened to me the same thing. I'm from, what was it, 89 to 95. I was educated in Buddhism in the West, yeah. I thought, you know, there's something missing. Huh? Something is missing. Yeah, some things are, yeah, now they don't seem to be right. Yeah. And then I came, huh? Then I came, I knew about this place, I knew about what Papan Thart and Lungta Mahabo. I said, okay, now I'm going to see him. Yeah? And it took him 2 years to straighten me out of all my wrongs, understanding of all my wrong views. Yeah? 2 years he brainwashed me. Yeah, I mean, he washed my brain clear of all these, yeah, assumptions, views, opinions, yeah, about what is Buddhism and what is not. It took a long time, yeah, until I could see clearly, you know, the path, you know, this is the path and that is not the path. This is the path of practice, is not the path of practice. Sometimes, you know, it happens in the morning, you always give a talk to lay people. And I was always in the background, you know, not in the sala. Yeah, the monks were not allowed to sit in the sala while he gave a talk to the lay people. So we sat, you know, in the back, yeah. You know, back, and then sometimes I came, you know, and had a, just thinking about something, you know, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And then looked, I repeated my thought and said, some people think like this, you know, and this is wrong because of this and this and this. Oops! Yeah. I mean, it was quite amazing, yeah. So, I mean, he corrected all my wrong views, my wrong opinions about what is practice, you know, how practice should be, you know, what is the right thing, you know, about arahants, you know, and so on and so on, yeah. So. And it's the same thing, you know, I mean, a lot of people who come from the West, you know, chanas, yeah. I mean, very seldomly people get into jhanas. Yeah? It happens if they have practiced it in their previous lives. Yeah? But most of them, you know, I mean, really cannot do the jhanas. But they can do samadhi. And that is important. The Lord Buddha, the Fourth Noble Truth, yeah? I mean, the way out of dukkha is sila, samadhi, and panya. The Lord Buddha did not teach sila, jhana, and panya. He talked about sila, samadhi, concentration, yeah, and panya, wisdom. So, I mean, he taught in the Eightfold Path, it's sama samadhi, sama panya, yeah, rightful thinking, rightful thoughts, rightful views, rightful opinions, yeah, and sama samadhi. So if there's a sama, rightful samadhi, there's also wrongful samadhi, yeah. People who climb the Mount Everest, it's wrongful samadhi, yeah. People who drive, you know, their cars at 200 or 300 kilometers an hour, it's wrongful samadhi. Yeah? It is samadhi, but it is not the samadhi that we need. About the jhanas, I mean, Lungta Mahabo didn't talk very much. He said, you know, if you know the jhanas, come and see me and then I help you. Yeah? I mean, it is, yeah. It's not important, yeah. You could call it, you know, it is, you know, I mean, you could call it the icing on the cake, yeah. It's not necessary. The cake is that what is important, yeah. So the samadhi, the concentration is very important, yeah. And when I was there, when I was in the West, you know, I mean, a lot, there were quite a few teachers who taught the wrong kind of samadhi, yeah. I mean, fake samadhi. Ayakema, I mean, I stayed with Ayakema. I mean, she taught, you know, she taught the jhanas, you know, and, I mean, but they were different, you know, from the fake other ones. Huh? What is the fake, you know, what are the fake jhanas, you know? I mean, you go and sit in samadhi, you know, and then there's a nice feeling coming up and you concentrate on the feeling. That's a fake jhana, yeah? It has nothing to do with jhana. Jhana is absorption. For instance, if you go in the first jhana, or if it happened that you enter the first jhana, it can last for days. You're in this absorption. You're completely absorbed. You can wash dishes, you can cook, but you're still in the jhana. You're completely absorbed, but what you cannot do is thinking. You cannot have conversations because then you are out of it. You cannot do thinking, but you can do any kind of work. You can do walking meditation. You can do washing the kitchen, washing the dishes, or you can even, and it lasts for a few days, and then afterwards, it goes away. And then you are really in a very woeful state. Where is it gone? It was so nice. It was so nice. Where is it gone? Lungka Mahabho talked about it. It happened to him, he was in the first jhana, or, probably second jhana, I don't know. He didn't say, And he said he was in this, amazing state, And then he repaired his cloth, this is the kind of umbrella where you have the tent, the tent outside, but when you go to Dong, And then it disappeared, The jhana disappeared, he was back in the world, And then he tried and longed, for it, to come back, And it took him, he said it was like hell, It took him one year and 3 months, to come back. Because then, after 1 year, he realized, this is not going to work out. So, he thought about himself, how do I get back? So, what did I do? In order to get into the first jhana, or to get in the jhana, so to get in absorption, I stay with the Buddha. All the time, I was looking, that my Buddha did not disintegrate, Now I just look, for the Buddha. I'm not interested in disintegrating or development or disintegration. I'm just stick with the Buddha or stick with the breath, it doesn't really matter. And then he did that, and after 2 or 3 months he went back. Same happened to me, And it probably happens to everybody, who gets into this amazing state of mind, and then I disappeared, and then, where is it? Looking for it, and this is really like hell, Until you realize, you did something, that brought you the state, And when you do, and you notice it, if you go into samadhi and stick with the breath or stick with the Buddha, and there's a nice feeling, it can be pity or it can be joy, or it can be peacefulness coming up, and then you stick to this peacefulness or you put your attention on this peacefulness, slowly this peacefulness disintegrates and you're gone. Or the pity or the joy is gone. However, if you stick to what you did in the first place, if you stick to the Buddha, or if you stick to the breath, it becomes intense, much more intense than ever before. It won't disappear. So people make the mistake, going to the feeling, instead of sticking with what brought, what is the byproduct of our samadhi concentration. That brings up, this beautiful feeling, might bring up this beautiful feeling, And then they go to this feeling and then it disappears and then they're sorry. And then try again, and it disappears. Just like last time I mentioned, people open the door to samadhi and, this is so nice. And then they close the door in front of them. And then they open it again and close it. So it was a nice meditation, but they have no energy at the end of it. If you go into the absorption, if you go into samadhi, you enter the room, enter the room of samadhi, everything is outside, you're not bothered by anything anymore, And when you come out, you feel refreshed and energetic, That's why you can, if you do the samadhi, for a few hours a day, you don't hardly need any sleep, 2 hours of sleep is more than enough, You just lie down, rest the body a little bit, you know, and then you wake up and then go back into samadhi and go, and then after samadhi you do your work of investigation. Yeah, that's it, yeah. But, you know, forget about the jhanas, you know, if you happen to get into the jhanas, it's fine, you know, it's the icing on the cake. But the samadhi is the important thing. The ability to concentrate on one point, be it the breath or be it the Buddha, and know what it is going on, yeah. This is important for our investigation, for the investigation to develop wisdom. Without samadhi, and that's why it is so important, you know, the Lord Buddha said, sila samadhi panya, yeah? And, you know, I mean, Lungda Mahabho just talked, you know, I mean, the importance of sati, yeah? Sati that we develop in the process of our concentration. Concentration is good. But if we do not develop this awareness of what is going on with the object that we concentrate on, I mean, we don't develop sati. And a lot of people, you know, think, you know, I mean, misunderstand, you know, that samadhi is only concentration. It's not only concentration, it's the development of this awareness, yeah? If we just concentrate, you know, I mean, we might get calm, but we don't develop this awareness of what is going on, yeah? What is going on in our heart. And if we don't know what is going on in our heart, you know, we cannot develop wisdom. And Lungda Mahabho once said, you know, I mean, satipanya is like a nuclear weapon, yeah? I mean, that destroys avijja, that destroys the kilesas, and without satipanya we cannot destroy anything. Sati knows what is going on in panya, asking the question and finding out, yeah, looking, you know, for instance, in a question, you know, what is the body? Yeah. I just mentioned it, yeah. Is the fingernail the body? Is the skin the body? Yeah. Is the tendon the body? Yeah. What is the body? Yeah. What makes it a human being? Yeah. And do we need a heart to be a human being? Yeah. I mean, a physical heart. Of course, we need the mental heart, you know, the emotional heart. Yeah. But do we need a physical heart? Do we need lungs? You know, what is a human being? What is the consistent? Yeah? Is it the skin? Is it the tendons? Is it the flesh? Is the organs? You know, what makes? You know, what defines a human being? Yeah. So these questions we need to ask, you know, and then we need to delve into. Yeah. What is, yeah? What makes it, yeah? And what is it, you know? And who, yeah? Who sees it? Who concentrates on it, yeah? Who sees it and who asks the question, yeah? And if we go down, you know, I mean, if we, for instance, if we put the body in front of us, you know, I mean, yeah? All the 32 parts of the body, yeah? Where's the body? There's no body. There are parts of body, yeah? It's just like, you know, disassemble a car and then you don't remember how to reassemble it, you know, it will never get a car in again. Yeah? you have wheels, you know, you have an axle, you know, and if you don't know how to assemble it correctly, it will not get a car again. Yeah? So what is the car? What is the body? Yeah? What is our attachment to this body? What is our attachment to this feeling? Yeah? Why are we attached to this kind of feeling? Why are we attached to that kind of feeling? I mean, we are even attached to unpleasant feelings. Yeah? We don't want to let them go. If we feel sad, you know, we don't want to let go of sadness. Yeah? We don't want to let go of our anger. We see anger coming up, you know, completely, you know, we are completely in turmoil, but we are attached to it. We don't want to let it go. We feed it with our thoughts, you know. Why do I have this anger, you know? I mean, no, this is not the right question. The right question is, what came before the anger? Before the anger arises, you know, what kind of thoughts, what kind of feelings, what kind of, yeah, sense impressions came. Maybe it was just an eye contact and suddenly our anger rises, yeah? So, what was this eye contact? You know, so we investigate, you know, what was this eye contact, or what was this sense contact, or what was the words that we hear that, you know, so we have to look down. We go down. We go back and back and back and back until we find the stone, you know, that causes the avalanche. Yeah? I mean, if you go into the mountains, you know, in the snowy mountains, you know, and if you drop a stone, you know, I mean, it rolls down with each turn, you know, it takes more snow, yeah. And then at the end, you know, it becomes so big that it, you know, kills us. Yeah? That is what is called an emotion. Yeah? An emotion is something, you know, that starts with a little stone, yeah. And that's why we have to unroll it, yeah. Starts with a little stone, with each turn, yeah. For instance, you know, a thought, you know, I mean, with a thought, you know, attached is a feeling to the thought, yeah. Be it positive or negative feeling, it doesn't matter, yeah. Then, you know, a memory comes up. So the memory is also attached to feeling. It adds up to the feeling, yeah? And then it adds up and adds up, you know? Then another thought comes, another memory comes, another thought, and the feeling grows and grows and grows. Just like, you know, like the avalanche, yeah? With each turn, you know, with each turn it grows and grows and grows until it is so big that we can't deal with it, yeah? So, if that happens, you know, we roll back, you know, and see what was the stone, you know, that caused the avalanche. If you remove the stone, there's no avalanche. So there's no emotion. Yeah? That is how we investigate. Yeah? This is how we can investigate this in our life. Yeah. what I normally suggest, you know, I mean, after our meditation in the evening, yeah, I mean, the evening meditation, when we come back from the work, we let everything go. We are not interested in what happened during the day. All the sorrows, all the thoughts about work, we let go, yeah? And we just concentrate on the Buddha or on the breath, you know, and get relaxed, get calm, yeah? And then, after that, we do a daily reflection. What kind of thought, what kind of emotion, what kind of feeling, you know, did I get up? What did I do then? Yeah? I brushed my teeth, or I washed my face, yeah? What kind of thoughts were there? What kind of feelings were there? What did I do then? Yeah? And not judging it. Judging makes it worse, you know. I mean, judging, you know, I mean, it's not seeing clearly. Yeah? I mean, the moment we say, this was good, this was bad. Then I met this person, that was good. You know, then I had this conversation, this was good. I mean, that it completely clouds our mind. Yeah? We don't want this. We just want to know what is happening, what came in our mind or what came in our heart, what kind of feelings, what kind of thoughts, what kind of memories, what did I do, what kind of actions, yeah? And if we do this, you know, we see clearly, you know, what happens, what triggers us, yeah? And over the time, if we do that daily, you know, over the time, I mean, we can clearly let go of certain unwholesome actions. Because we see clearly, it's always the same thing, you know, I mean, yeah, triggers this, you know, this is, yeah, I woke up, you know, and I still had, you know, still had some thoughts, you know, some bad thoughts about this, you know, or this made me angry, and I still wake up, you know, and repeat these thoughts, you know, and so I go angry into my work, you know, and then everything, you know, looks very black or very weak, yeah, meek. And then, of course, you know, everything upsets us. Yeah, this person says this, it upsets us. I mean, if we have, you know, if we get up, you know, in the morning, you know, and have a wonderful meditation, you know, we are blissed out, you know, we go to work. I mean, people say the same thing, yeah, we just walk by. It's the glasses that we set on. And the glasses are mostly, you know, I mean, mostly come from the morning, how we react. If we had a nightmare, or if we had a good dream, or if we had a bad meditation, whatever, yeah? So we want to see it. We want to understand it, you know, and what is going on in our life. Why are we doing the things that we do? We don't ask the question, why are we doing? We just look at the process, you know, what leads us to this kind of reaction, what leads us to this kind of action, yeah? And then it, you know, over the time, you know, we do that, you know, patterns become very clear. Yeah? And then we can solve these patterns. Yeah? And then we are free of these, yeah? Free of these holes that we jump into. Yeah? I mean, for me, it was, you know, it was August 1, and boom! And I didn't know what happened. Yeah? And it took me months, you know, it took me probably a year until I found out, you know, what really happened. Yeah, and once I found that stone that caused the whole avalanche, you know, I had to laugh. This is what really, you know, caused it. Yeah. And from then on, it was gone. There was no more residue. But without this daily reflection, I mean, I would never have gone, you know, would never have found that stone. And also this reflection, you know, helps us in our investigation. If we investigate body, if we investigate sensation, if we investigate feelings, yeah. I mean, it helps us, yeah. Because we can look, what came before this? What came before that? What came before that? Yeah. Until we come to the stone, you know, that caused, you know, that caused all this, yeah. So that is just for our own help, you know, I mean, to solve most mundane problems, yeah. When it comes to meditation, you know, I mean, we get happy one time, we get unhappy one time. We swing up, you know, very good, you know, swing down very bad, then swing up very good, and that will hold, you know. But when we look over time, you know, I mean, the ups are less and the downs are less, becoming less over time until it evens out. Over the time, over years, you know, it evens out. There's no more ups, you know, but there's much more equanimity that comes in through our practice, yeah. And through our investigation. But we have to find the motivation, yeah. People get so easily demotivated, yeah, distracted, yeah. I mean, nowadays with the smartphones, everybody get distracted, yeah. I mean, the moment they have a little bit dukkha, you know, okay, they look at their phones, you know, and then they don't see the dukkha. Yeah? I mean, dukkha is the first noble truth. If we do not understand what is dukkha, I mean, how can we ever find a way out of dukkha? The fourth noble truth is the way out of dukkha. Huh? What is dukkha? Discontent, dis-ease. Dissatisfaction, yeah, and suffering and pain. That's all dukkha. Dukkha is just a container. If we can't see the dukkha in our life, yeah, and this, you know, and this daily reflection brings up a lot of our dukkha that we have in our life that we normally don't see because we forget about this, we forget about that, and we don't see it, yeah. I mean, the dukkha of the body, we can clearly see it, yeah. I mean, we wake up, you know, we don't want to get up. That's the dukkha of the body, yeah. I mean, we are hungry, yeah. Dukkha of the body, yeah. We're thirsty, dukkha of the body. Huh? We need to go to the toilet, dukkha of the body. We are tired, it's a dukkha of the body. But for this, we always have a remedy, yeah. When we're hungry, we eat. When we're thirsty, we drink. When we need to go to the toilet, we relieve ourselves of the shit, you know. Ah, and then we are so free of it, yeah? The dukkha is gone. When we eat, the dukkha is gone. When we drink, the dukkha is gone. When we fall asleep, you know, I mean, the dukkha is gone. So, why is there any need, you know, to investigate what brings the dukkha? But that is just the dukkha of the body. The dukkha of the heart is all the things that we like, that we want to. We want to become, we want to be, you know, we want to be somebody else, or we want to, yeah? In any kind of conversation, we try to paint a picture of ourselves for the other person to hear. So, to this person we want to be this, to that person we want to be that, yeah. When we go for a job interview, we want to be this, yeah. When we see a friend, you know, we want to be that, yeah. When we see our parents, you know, remember when we saw our parents, you know, we behave like little children, yeah. It brings us, you know, every situation brings us in a different kind of mode. So, this is, you know, that brings a lot of dukkha, yeah. Wanting to be or not wanting to be, yeah. Wanting to become or not wanting to become. People who have a death wish, you know, I mean, it is also dukkha, yeah. It's not wanting to be or not, you know, wanting not to become. Yeah? Oh, you know, wanting this or wanting that, not liking this, not liking that. That is all, you know, this desire, this is all producing dukkha. And the more we can see this dukkha in our life, I mean, the more motivation, of course, do we have, you know, to overcome dukkha. Yeah? And that is, you know, I mean, overcoming, we need a motivation because the path to the end of dukkha is not easy. Yeah? It's not difficult, but it's also not easy. Yeah? It's just the way, you know, we walk, you know. Sometimes we're in a thick forest, you know, and then we have to slash a lot, and it's very, very tiring, you know. And then we come into an area where there's less undergrowth, you know, and then it is easier. And then we come, you know, in the swampy area, you know, where it is very difficult to get, yeah. And sometimes, we come across a meadow, and then it is very beautiful, and then we end up in front of a big mountain, and then the climb is very hard, very tough, you know, it's very hot, and there's no water, you know, and so on, yeah, and then we climb up, you know, and then we see the sun rising from the east, you know. I mean, that is the path of practice, you know. I mean, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's more difficult. Huh? And we need a motivation to go forward, you know, to deal with the difficulties, not to give up. Yeah, and the Kilesas constantly, you know, try to give up. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I've done enough. Oh, it was nice meditation, but let's stop now. Why? We never ask the question, why to stop? Why should I stop now? Yeah. Why should I get up? Oh, yeah. Yeah. This reason. Then they bring all these reasons. Yeah. It's the same thing. Yeah. Oh, my practice. Yeah. I mean, when I started practicing in Pantat, you know, I started practicing with a super practice. Yeah. For 7 years, you know, I didn't see any progress, but I didn't give up. I just practice, you know, take the body apart, you know, pulling it back together, opening up, seeing what is inside, you know, seeing, you know, how it burns up, seeing how it dies, you know, going through these death, you know, stages of death, you know, and looking at this, what is the difference between this organ or that organ, what is the difference, where is the hair coming out, where is the nail coming out, all looking, you know, all investigating, yeah. For 7 years, and I didn't see any, yeah. Yeah, when I look back after 1 year, I saw, oh, okay, greed and hate are reduced a little bit, you know, but, you know, no real progress, yeah. I mean, until you come to the end of the forest, until you come to the end of the Asubha practice, then the light shines up. I also call it, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, digging a tunnel through a mountain. All what you do is, each time you take a stone and put it out. Take a stone and put it out. You never know when you finish. You know the moment you put out the last stone and you see the light, then you know you're finished. Before you have no clue whatsoever, you know, how long it will take, yeah? So you don't give up. You just do it, you know, whatever you do. Yeah? Investigation of the body, okay. Investigation of the body until you see the light, yeah? And then it is clear. And then comes the next stages. Yeah. So, dukkha, to understand dukkha, to really see the dukkha. Yeah. That is important, yeah, for us to give us some motivation. I mean, other people can see, you know, can look at anicca, yeah. I mean, everything is impermanent. I mean, I just built my house. Now the flood comes and the house is gone. So I have to rebuild it. Huh? Oh, I have this relationship, you know, I mean, it's gone, you know, I have to build another relationship, and then another relationship. Or I have this kind of work, you know, and then I have, yeah, this is finished, you know, anicca, impermanent, yeah. I mean, that is also a motivation. Yeah? Everything that we do is impermanent, yeah. The money that we earn is impermanent, you know, it goes out, yeah. Nothing keeps, no? Nothing, yeah. The weather doesn't, the weather constantly changes, yeah. The environment changes, yeah. Politics change, everything changes all the time, yeah. So this is the door of anicca, yeah. The other door is the door of dukkha, yeah. Or, you know, I mean, of course, you can look at motivation in the door of anatta, that all these things have nothing to do with you. That is probably the most difficult door to go through. Yeah, but we need some motivation. Yeah. And so for us, you know, I mean, for most of us, it's dukkha. Yeah? But for other people, it's anicca. I mean, there was one, at the times of the Lord Buddha, there was one, I mean, who was a great artist in gold, you know, making gold jewelry. Yeah? And, you know, who taught him to do asupa? It was, what? Sariputta, yeah? Taught him to do asupa. And he became a monk, you know, and then Sariputta taught him, do asupa. He didn't get anywhere, then he went to the Lord Buddha, yeah? And the Buddha looked at him, no, you have to look at anicca. You have to look at the impermanent. Yeah? I mean, look at all the gold jewelry you built, it's all gone. So he looked, and he used anicca, you know, and then finally he got liberated. Yeah. So not all the doors, you know, are working for all the people. Yeah. There are some people, you know, who use dukkha. There are other people who use anicca. Yeah. And there are probably a few people who use anatta. That all these things don't relate to me. Huh? Whatever I see, it's not me. Huh? Whatever I feel, it's not me. There's a feeling and there's an observer. Now they can use this anatta principle. But, you know, I mean, in the end, you know, I mean, we still have to go the path, you know, to the end of dukkha, yeah? The Fourth Noble Truth, you know, Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. And Panya is investigation. And investigation, you know, I mean, just let me remind you, investigation is not just looking at one thing, you know, and getting, okay, this is it. That's not investigation. I give you an example. It's a joke in Germany. Yeah? Two people, you know, in Hamburg, you know, A and B are walking on a sidewalk. Then A says to B, oh, be careful, there's some dog shit. Yeah? B said, I have to see that. So he goes very closely and looks at the shit and said, it looks like shit. But he's not convinced. Yeah? So, he smells. He goes with his nose, he smells. Ah, it smells like shit. Yeah? But he's still not convinced that it is shit. So he touches it. Yeah? And then he says, oh, it feels like shit. But he's still not convinced. So he takes a little bit, tastes like shit. Then he's convinced. This is shit, yeah? And then he says to A, it's only good that we didn't step into it. Yeah? German way of investigation. And that is the kind of, yeah? We shouldn't go with the first assumption. We should dig deeper, yeah? We should question that, you know, the assumption that we have, yeah? All this is like this. Well, no, maybe it's not like this, yeah? Maybe you try to fool me. Maybe the Kilesas try to fool me. Let's dig deeper, yeah? Huh? Until there is, yeah, we do the investigation, until there is no more answer coming from the Kilesas and the answer comes from the heart. And then, yeah, we know. That is the type of investigation we need to do. Remember this. The joke is easy to be remembered. So when you do investigation, yeah, you can do it. Yeah? Don't fall for the first assumption. Yeah, I mean, A felt, there's shit. Yeah. Huh? No. The other one, B said, no. I have to investigate that. If it is really. Yeah. And he was convinced. Yeah? So this is the kind of investigation that we need to do with our body or with feelings or, you know, with thoughts or memories, you know, whatever comes up, yeah. But in the beginning, we do the body investigation because, I mean, just like I think I said the last time, you know, greed and hatred are rooted within the body and within the senses of the body. Yeah? Whatever we like, you know, investigate yourself. Whatever you like, you know, is in connection with the body. Whatever we dislike is in connection with the body, yeah? Including the six senses. Yeah? So, once we get once we get disillusioned about the body, yeah, and I can tell you the kilesas don't like that, right? Because the body is for the kilesas the biggest toy. Yeah? It is like an adult, you know, takes a favorite toy of a little child and the child cries. Yeah. And that's the kilesas, yeah? If you destroy the favorite toy of the kilesas will cry and make us very, very, very angry. Yeah? So, if you're not alone, don't do a Zubha practice, you know, too much, yeah? Because, I mean, your anger, you know, just flares up, yeah? At another person, at another situation, yeah? You don't want to do that, yeah? Because you want, you know, the anger to flare up, to understand. Anger, yeah? To be able to investigate the anger, yeah? To investigate the feeling of anger or the feeling of lust, yeah? And then switch lust with anger and anger with lust, you know, to see, you know. I mean, it's all made up. It's all made up in our mind, yeah? It's all our concepts, all made up, yeah? But we don't see it, yeah? Because the anger automatically comes up. We see something we like, you know, lust comes up or greed comes up, and we see something we dislike, anger comes up, yeah. So we don't understand that, yeah. We really have to dig in very deep, you know, to understand. It's all connected to our views, our illusion about this body, that this body is something, you know, fantastic, yeah. Adorable, yeah. We are attached, yeah. We are attached to our views. We are attached to our appearance. We are attached to our feeling. It's my feeling, yeah? You hurt my feeling. How can I hurt a feeling? Ever ask yourself the question? Can somebody hurt my feeling? Huh? I mean, I see a feeling, you know. A feeling is a feeling, yeah? Nobody can hurt that feeling, yeah? But you can hurt my views about what I have, yeah? And then the feeling comes up. You can hurt the views about I have about myself, yeah? If I think I'm such a great person, and you say you're just a, yeah? Just a normal, common, you know, crazy thing, yeah? It hurts my view about myself, yeah? And then, of course, a feeling comes up, you know? I feel hurt, yeah? But, you know, I mean, it didn't hurt my feeling. It hurt my view of myself, yeah? Or it hurt other things, yeah? Whatever. I mean, investigate these things, yeah? I mean, it's so obvious, yeah? I mean, it's so clear, yeah? The moment you take off the glasses, you know, the colored glasses of greed and anger, you know, I mean, everything becomes so obvious, so clear, yeah? But, you know, but because we do not understand in line with the truth, yeah, we want to know, we constantly want to know, but we cannot know in line with the truth, yeah, because it's a principle of avijja. When you translate avijja, what is avijja? What is it translated? Not knowing in whatever it is, yeah. Actually, it is wanting to know, but not being able to know in line with the truth. Wanting to understand, but not being able to understand in line with the truth. That is the power of avijja. And also there is the will, yeah? And without the will, you know, I mean, without the will, yeah, of avijja, we could not go beyond avijja, yeah? Without the will, you know, without our desire for Nibbana, we couldn't go to Nibbana, yeah? So, we have to use, yeah? We have to use, you know, the power, yeah? The power of the will, you know, the power of avijja, you know, to go the path to overcome avijja. Yeah? That's why I said to you this morning, I mean, you know, with kilesas, there are good kilesas and there are bad kilesas. At the moment, for most of the people, there are hardly any good kilesas, yeah? The good kilesas here in Thailand, to make bun, you know, to make merit, you know, come to the monastery, offer something. But that's all what they want, you know, and then they go home, you know, and do their bad things, yeah? So, in our path of practice, we develop, you know, more and more of the good kilesas that lead us to wholesome, yeah? Experiences, you know, to lead us to wholesome, yeah, to hold some metas, yeah, and get rid of the bad kilesas that lead to unwholesomeness. Yeah? And once all the kilesas are good kilesas, then we get rid of them. Yeah? And then there are no kilesas, yeah. But then, yes, also, you know, for the Arahant, there is no will. He has no will anymore, so he cannot, you know, he cannot decide, oh, I want this or I want that, because that is gone, yeah. But he doesn't look, you know, he doesn't look like a will-less or soul-less person. He looks like a very, very alert person, yeah. If you live with an Arahant, I mean, and I live for 15 years with an Arahant, I mean, you see, yeah. He's not there. I mean, you can actually walk right past through him and he doesn't mind, yeah? Because he doesn't have any objections whatsoever. Yeah? When he's not needed, he's not there. And when he's needed, he's completely present. Yeah? I mean, he's absolutely present. I mean, you listen to a little bit of his talk, you know, in Thai it doesn't matter, but you get the presence that he is in. Yeah? But after the talk, he's completely gone. There's nobody there anymore. It's complete, yeah, it's amazing, yeah. Okay. With this, I end the talk, you know. I mean, get your motivation and find the way out of dukkha, yeah. We don't want to be constantly born and reborn all the time, yeah. I mean, zillions of times have we been born, yeah, in what, you know, in one of the 31 realms of existence, yeah. Throwing up and growing up, you know, like a roller coaster, up and down, up and down, up and down, yeah? I mean, we don't want to do this anymore. Well, if you want to do it, I have no objections, yeah? It's your life, it's your, yeah? It's your responsibility. All what I can say, all what I can teach is, you know, the way out of dukkha, yeah? Just like Lungda Mahabho taught the way out of dukkha. Huh? How to deal with this problem, how to address this problem, how to get rid of this, yeah, and so on. Yeah? This I can tell you, but you have to go the path yourself, yeah? You have to face the hardships, yeah? They come along the path, and you have to see, you know, you have to see the power of the delusion that we are sometimes in, that we don't see coming, and that we only realize after months, you know, of practice. I mean, I've been at this point before. How did I get deluded, you know, to go another way? Yeah. I knew exactly where I needed to go, and the next moment, you know, I went another way. How did that happen? Yeah. I mean, on the path of practice, it happened to me quite often, you know, always coming to the same point. What happened? Yeah? I mean, one moment of having no sati, no awareness, you know, the kilesas drag you in a completely wrong direction, yeah? And you don't notice it, and you go and go and go. I mean, I've been there before, you know, I mean, I knew I needed to go straight. Why did I go left? Why did I go right? I mean, the power of delusion is amazing, you know, I mean, and you don't notice it, yeah? Only over time, you know, in the beginning, you know, it might take years, you know, to understand, you know, that you have been deluded by the kilesas. And then only over time, you know, the more you understand the power or the tricks of the kilesas, I mean, the faster you come back to your senses, you know, okay, they tricked me again. Oh, they tricked me again. And then it comes, you know, I mean, they trick you now in a day 5 times, but you're up to the task, yeah? Because you learn over your time of practice, you learn the tricks of the kilesas, yeah? And then you have to find out, you know, how to trick them, yeah? And the first time they get tricked, you know, they're completely helpless, yeah? Because you tricked them, yeah? They thought, you know, this is going to happen and you did just something else, yeah? So, I mean, it can be, you know, I mean, once you get going, you know, in the practice, and the only thing you do is practice from morning to evening and through the night, I mean, then it can become quite fun, you know? But until then, you know, it's tough, yeah? All this undergrowth in the forest, you know, cut, 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 huh? until you see, you know, some open space. And then you can relax for a little bit and then cut, yeah, until the things are gone. Okay, with this I end the talk, yeah? If you have any questions, you can ask. Yeah? Or ask them tomorrow morning after the meal. Yes? Hello? Are we there? Huh? Okay. Hmm? Oh, we got some questions? Okay. One. Okay.
This person, regarding Asubha,
yeah,
the body part of bones,
yeah,
comes up easily.
Yeah.
And sometimes on its own.
Yeah.
Then a few days ago, it made them very sad when they saw the bones.
Yeah.
And they don't understand why it was sad, not repulsive.
I mean, it can happen. It makes you sad, you know, to see the bones. Or, yeah. It doesn't have. I mean, bones are normally not that repulsive. Yeah.
So they want to know, should they try to see things that are more repulsive?
Yeah.
Even though it's more difficult for them.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you can see. You know. I mean, what you can do, you can put the whole body in front of you. You know, and let it disintegrate until you see the bones, because the bones are the last thing that, you know, that disintegrate. Yeah. Everything else. Very, very easy, very fast. It disintegrates, parts of it disintegrates very fast, and other parts disintegrate. The more earth element they have, you know, it disintegrates slower. Yeah. Yes, of course. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's funny, you know. But then if he sees the bone, you know, yeah, then he should try to see the whole skeleton. Yeah. And then when he goes in the city, he doesn't see people, he just sees skeletons. And sees the skeletons behave, you know, like the people behave, you know. And that is quite, you know, it's quite revealing, yeah. I mean, because there is no meaning to it, you know, when skeletons behave in the way that human beings, yeah, behave. Yeah. Look through it, you know, and see the skeleton. But of course, you know, to get the repulsive feeling, I mean, he has to see the flesh on the bones, yeah. I mean, the next time he eats a chicken, you know, I mean, a chicken wing, I mean, look at the flesh, you know, especially if it's still wet, you know, I mean, and then look at your own bones, you know, I mean, normally, you know, flesh, yeah, and then comes tendons and this and that, you know, and, I mean, if he sees the pus and the blood, pus, you know, that comes out of the body, all the sweat, you know, I mean, investigate these things, that I often talk about it, yeah. And that brings up really anger, yeah. But he should not do it, you know, when he's around people, you know, he should be alone, yeah, to see the anger coming up and you'll be able to learn how to deal with anger. Okay? That's all? That's all the question. Okay. Good, good. Then, stop. Yeah.